Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Is popping congregation. It's your girl Lacey Mosley, aka Scam Goddess, and we're back for another episode of Scam Goddess. And I am so what? Yes, excited. I love our call and response, just like church Jesus. Amen. Guys, today we have a dynamic comedian, actress, writer, producer. Y'all know her. Y'all know her, and I'm so excited to have her here. If you haven't been to her variety game show, Smart, Funny, and Black, which I actually have been to, and it was popping as fuck. We were dancing. We were singing. It was everything, which is like a creative, quality, multicultural comedy. Like, she does it across all platforms. Like, Amanda's everywhere. Obviously, I already gave it away. Goddamn. So she plays Tiffany Dubois on HBO's Insecure, and you can find her dropping gems on her podcast, which if you're not into it, get into it, but the girls are into it. Small Doses with Amanda Seals. Congregation, please welcome Amanda Seals to the show.
Hello. Hello. I'm happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you, for real. I've slowly been gathering up the Infinity Stones of Insecure, like Thanos, and I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I love it. But, Amanda, I have to ask you. First of all, Amanda looks cute as fuck. Y'all can't see that.
Thank you.
But she looks cute as hell. She has the cutest office. We both have pink offices, and I stand that and live for that for us. But, yes. Amanda, what is your relationship with scams? Like, have you ever been scammed? Do you like scams? Do you hate them? Are you very vigilant? Do you stay woke and you never get caught up? Like, what's your situation?
I dated a scammer. I did not know that he...
Haven't we all?
I mean,
was he a man, like, perchance?
Yes, he was a man. He was a, I would say he was a reformed, like, scammer in the sense that he wasn't doing scams, but just like his mindset was always like, how do I like
get over?
Yeah.
Ooh,
like that was
that
like his mindset. But I have been scammed. I was scammed by an undisclosed person who used a Japanese a Japanese philanthropist as their cover. And they had booked me to come to Japan, booked in quotes,
Japan.
To come to Japan for like, so the way that I was scammed was that it was supposedly a Japanese philanthropist whose site we had, you know, we had vetted the site, like we, and in hindsight, I don't know why we didn't just call, but you know, it's like this internet, but this internet really just gets you like, oh, well, we did all the, you know, internet stuff, so this should be fine. And so we did the background about this person and like vetted him and like, okay, so this is legit. And we got the contract, and in the contract it said that they were going to send us a fee and then we would send back a portion, and that portion would go to their nonprofit. And that's actually something that happens quite often. Like if you're working with a company that has a profit and a nonprofit wing. So this event was for their nonprofit. So I was like, all right, like it checks out. Let's do it. So they send the check. So they send the check, and I say to my business manager, can we send them back the deposit? Like, did the check clear? Can we send them back the deposit? And he said, yes, it posted.
Now, did they ask for the deposit back?
No, but there was a time limit. So it was supposed to be like you have to send it back within a certain amount of days.
And so they did ask for it back.
They didn't ask, but like, according to my contract, like, I mean, I try and be.
So they put it in the contract. That's actually very cute because can I guess, Amanda, did this check bounce?
So you're letting me get ahead of myself because
there's a couple elements.
And so what ended up happening was, I think it's important for me to just say this because I know that this show, people be listening and, you know, they don't want to get scammed. But my business manager said, yes, it posted. And there is a difference between a check clearing and a check posting because a check clearing means the funds associated with the check have been taken from the bank associated with the check and sent to your bank. A check posting means that the funds for that check have been put into your account by your bank. And some banks, depending on their relationship with your business manager or not, will just do that because you're a trusted client. So I didn't know that that was even happening. I didn't even know that the bank was even doing that. So when they said the money was there, I thought the money was there. Long story short, the check bounced. The bank calls me at 5:58 and is like, this looks like a fraudulent check. So, you know, do you want to recall the wire? And I'm like, yeah, recall the wire. And they're like, well, you know, okay, well, actually, it's too late to recall the wire because 4:45 was the cutoff. I'm like, why the fuck you calling me at 5:58 and 4:45 was the cutoff? And they really were genuinely, like, talking to me like I was, like, actually the scammer. And they're like, do you know this person? How could you get involved with this person, et cetera? And I was like, first of all, pump your brakes, Sharon, because I feel like you're cheating me like I'm a criminal and I need you to halt all of your... I felt like I was being accused.
It was some judgment. And so
there was judgment, absolute judgment. And so essentially what ended up happening was I was conned out of $119,000.
Oh! Oh! My chest. My neck and my back.
So I went to my business manager and was just like, this decision was made upon your suggestion. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I had asked, should I send it back? Have we cleared everything? And for all intents and purposes, you have a business manager to avoid situations like this. Mm-hmm. And then they also said that they didn't know that the bank puts the money up. I don't know that that's true. They knew that. But nonetheless, I really like was depressed about it for like 3 days where I was just like, I couldn't sleep. Like I was stressed. And then I literally woke up one morning and was like, fuck that. We got to fight this shit. Mm-hmm. And I just started thinking and I was like, you need to get muscle behind you. Cause if you were a rich white man, like you would already have your money back. So you need to get muscle behind you. And so I filed a report with the FBI. And then my very good friend, her husband is a federal agent for the IRS. And so he got on it and was able to say, like, he was able to find out that, like, this person that does these scams, like, they've been doing the scams. Like, it was a whole, like, it was a thing. And then I called my agent and I was like, you need to be the white man on my team and call them and be like, I'm the white man on our team. Like, I need to use your white man power.
Go be the white man.
Yeah. Like, I need you to do that. And so, like, I had to really like pull my gusto out. And at the end of the day, what actually ended up happening was I was able to eventually speak to the partner, like the head guy at my business management firm, and was like, yo, straight up and down, y'all keep telling me you're investigating and I need to chill. And you would never chill if you were in this situation. Mm-hmm. So for you to be expecting that of me is really unreasonable and impractical. And I am a good person. I don't scam. I don't shade. I don't cheat people. And I expect that my ethics will win me out in this situation. And it's only going to win me out if you all do right by me.
I love that. Give him the Whoopi Goldberg. Do right by me or everything going to fail.
And I was proud of myself because I also never raised my voice. And I had every right to raise my voice. But I think in this moment, like me being real, like, quiet like this was scarier than me raising my voice. And the next day he called me and said, we're sending you your money.
Yes. I love that this ended on a good note. I didn't mean to spoil the ending to that, but it's just on this podcast, everybody knows when it comes with a reimbursement. I will say this is creative because normally it happens in smaller scales where it's like, oh, you're going to work for our secret shopper company. We're going to send you $3,200. And once it posted, you just send back $200 or you just send back $400 or whatever. And, or you send back half of it.
or you're going to be my personal assistant and I need you to mail these checks out. Like, there's a lot of different ways that people do this. But I will say the contract finesse is a new one. And it's actually a really brilliant one.
It's like very common with quote unquote celebrities. Mm. So the person who caught it at the bank, she was like, oh, this just happened to two of our clients. And the other thing I wanted to say was let me tell you the real way they got us. Their website was the person's actual website, but it ended in .org. Mm-hmm. And in America, that is for a nonprofit. But they were Japan-based. It was supposed to end .jp. So the actual website ends in .jp.
Wow.
So they used the legit website name and they just put it at .org and we didn't know any wiser because we're dumb Americans.
And I mean, that happens all the time. Like, people will clone emails, they'll clone like Facebook, and you have to really look at the email. But what's also interesting to me about this scam is that your bank was like, hey, girl, some looking funny in the light. Would you like to rescind this? And wire transfers are like the hardest thing to get your money back with, because once that wire goes, it's like such a great, that's why scammers love Western Union. That is their like Cracker Barrel. That's their bread and butter. Like, that's their Starbucks. They love a Western Union because a wire transfer is so hard to get back. And
also in China, they don't have the same bank rules.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the same bank rules. So like in America, if there's a fraudulent charge, it's on the person who made the, like if I cut a check and the check bounces, it's on me.
Mm-hmm.
In China, if they cut a check and the check bounces, it's on me.
And that's the thing, too, about American banking system. It's all capitalist. So they were like, hey, girl, seems like you got robbed. What do you want to do about that, sis? Because it's your problem now. And that's normally why banks will only really give you, like, Bank of America, I think, gives like $300 when you post a large check. And they're like, we're going to wait for it, girl, because you ain't never posted. You ain't never had money before. So you got money
you
now? What happened?
Never had money before.
We saw your balance. I remember back in the day when I was waiting tables and struggling. Well, not struggling, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, waiting tables, putting my little money in the bank. One time, Bank of America sent me like a bunch of overdraft fees. And I was like, I called them and I was like, how are y'all going to charge me like $735 overdraft fees in 1 hour? Like, this is ridiculous. I'm leaving the bank. And they were like, okay, so we just looked at your account. Where would you like us to send your $220? I was like, okay. Well, I'll stay.
Yeah, see.
But I'm mad. So, no, I've definitely heard of that scam before. I did not know that they were running it on celebrities. So that is really good information to know. And I think helpful for a lot of people. If you are a celebrity and listen to this podcast,
shout out to you.
We got some blue checks. But yes, I'm glad that it worked out for you, though. And I also love that you did the thing that I do a lot now, which is like, if I'm angry, like I come at people real calm, just so calm that they're like, what is she going to do? Because she should be a lot more upset. Mm-hmm. And I do that. And if you guys don't know what a business manager is someone who, if you get to a certain point in your career or whatever financial situation you have, like you might hire someone to manage your money and, you know, maybe they pay bills for you. Maybe they run the gamut of what they can do for you, depending on what you want. But they take 5% of like everything that you earn. So like, you know, you get a $2 residual check. They're like, okay, sis, run us our...
Yeah.
What would that be? They run us our 10 cents.
Run us our 10
Thank
pesos.
You so much. We want them. So I've talked about this before, but I've had conversations with business managers and I always do this weird thing where I'm like, yeah, you know, but I've heard about people getting robbed like Rihanna. Somebody robbed me. You know, I get litigious, but also like I got cousins with a few strikes left. Huh? Like, you just stop laughing. Like, I'll pop the trunk on you. I will find you. I need you to know that this is a serious matter.
I mean, there's definitely business manager scams. Like, I mean, I feel like that's another wing to touch on the Scam Goddess podcast, because they be really out here scamming folks for real, for real. Because you just be like, oh, I mean, this is one thing. This is one less thing I have to think about. Mm-hmm. No.
So my mom always said, you're never rich enough to not sign your own checks.
And here's the thing. You be like, okay, I'm Oprah. I'm signing my own checks. They're still finding a way, just so you know.
Always. Always. But I want them to know that I'm crazy enough that don't try me. Okay, maybe you could steal a little $20 here and there, but you start climbing the ladder, we gonna fight. It's not just gonna be the lot. Like, when we go to court, that's where I'm gonna find you, because you gotta show up and we gonna fight. We gonna have a fist of cuffs, okay?
Everybody can get beat up.
Don't play about mines. Mm-hmm. But I'm so sorry that happened, but I'm glad that it had a happy ending, Amanda, and that you like worked it out and that the white man on your team showed up and he did the right white man thing.
Yes, he stepped in. He put his voice in. I mean, I think it was a confluence of, you know, elements that made it turn out right. But ultimately, I never thought it would happen to me. And it did. Anybody can get scammed.
Damn, you can't. Listen, I got scammed into flying to Seattle to shoot a whole movie that wasn't real. But that's a story for another time. Yep, girl told us she had the Duplass brothers producing it, somehow reached my agents at CAA, somehow reached agents of, like, a lot of prominent actors. And next thing I know, I was on a tiny seaplane out of Bainbridge Island to my escape. So
you know what? You just reminded me that I got scammed once by a woman who claimed she was an animator. And she came to New York. We brought her up from DC. Like, she was supposed to do a music video for me. So she came up to New York. Like, she took pictures, like, whole situation. She goes back to DC. We're like, okay, send us the first edit. Y'all, that shit was like a couple little scribbles that was done on iPaint.
And she got on clip art and was like, here y'all go.
Appeared. So wow. She spent the whole day with me and my videographer. And she's just like, she had just conned me from Twitter.
Pretending. She kept doing the little thing that you see in movies where she put her hands like this.
Yes. And like, oh, let me get slap shots of that. Like, so like we had a whole stalker, like fake person just like hanging out with us. Oh, my Lord. I forgot about that.
It's real. It's real. And you gave me a great transition in the beginning. We were talking about a man that you dated who had a scam mentality. We're going to move into what's hot and fraud. This is our segment where we warn our listeners about popping scams on the street. And more often not, we get letters from you guys. As always, contact us at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Snitch on your friends and family. Just make sure your scam is retired because we don't want to what? Fuck up your bag, okay? Mm-hmm. Or your cousin's bag, or your granny's bag. Amen. So I need a fake name, Amanda. We don't care about gender on this show for this listener letter.
Shayla.
Oh, I like Shayla. I like Shayla. So Shayla says a lot of nice things. Thank you, Shayla. Move past that. So Shayla says, I have a crazy ex-boyfriend that ran a long-term scam while we were together. Okay. This man would go to great lengths to get money while avoiding any actual work. Okay, I'm not mad at him about that. Like, capitalism is a scam. Like, work smarter, not harder. He sold weed. Okay, that's an employment. That's a job. And he had a job delivering a weekly county newspaper literally one day of the work week. Okay, I think I like his life. I think I want to live it. Sounds good to me. He would pick up the papers and was expected to roll them up with a rubber band and deliver them to his route. I discovered a few months into us dating that what he would do was dump all the papers in the trash after delivering to a few houses at the beginning of the street of his routes.
Bro, you so got case- one job. But it's
you could
like,
do your one job, though.
Because at a certain point, it's just like, am I fighting capitalism or am I just lazy?
Yeah, that's true. Because I'm like, all you got to do is throw papers at people's houses. You don't even really got to hit the doorstep. You just chunk them in their lawn.
Like, that's all?
That's all.
And he's not paying no bills.
Right. You couldn't drive. Stop. Yeah, he's definitely must be a hobosexual. For sure.
I have never heard that term, and it is amazing.
If you don't know what a hobosexual is, that's where you are dating somebody who is automatically living with you. And normally in dating, especially in LA or cities where it's hard to date, like New York, if somebody's like all into you and like, yeah, let's move in. I'm gonna put my toothbrush in here. You got a drawer for my underwears. You're like, oh my God, we in love. But really, they just need a home. They need an address.
Oh my God.
If you go on two dates and you show up to your crib and it's some mail from them, you got a hobosexual.
A hobosexual. Okay.
So after a while, he would just start dumping all the papers into the trash after he got them. So he would pick the papers up, throw them in the trash, and he would still get $300 a week for this. Okay. Is this, it's kind of innovative.
It's just lazy. That's all
the paper.
That is just lazy. There's a certain point where, like, it's just a reflection of your character. Like,
that's true.
At a certain point, you got to really just be like, bruh.
But some people don't live to work. They live to vibe, you know?
He's like, vibing six other days of the week.
This is a fact.
And how long does it take to deliver those papers? I mean,
probably
you can get that done in like 2 hours. I come from a single parent household where my mother worked two jobs. So I can't really, I don't really vibe well with the whole idea of like, oh, I don't, like, I get that there's this movement now where people are like, I don't want to work. And I'm like, is it that you don't want to work or you just don't want to do something that you don't want to do? I think there's actual value in the act of, like, working. Like, I like the jobs that I have, like, because I made a life for myself based on that. But I have definitely worked jobs that I didn't like. and knew that I needed to like muddle through, you know, to get to the other side. But when I look at that situation, that just sounds like somebody who is lazy and doesn't have direction.
But I mean, you had another side. You knew where you wanted to go. I feel like some people aren't motivated by work. Like when we go to school, they'd be like, what's your dream job? And some people are like, I don't dream of labor. Like,
but I think it's labor when you're doing it for somebody else or you're doing it for something that you don't care about. So sure. I'd be wondering like, okay, so if you weren't doing anything, what would you be doing? And if it means you'd be doing nothing, I'm just like, I don't know that I want to support you and you're doing nothing though.
My passion is nothing.
Because then people will be like, oh, well, in socialism, like everybody doesn't have to work because we're all pooling our money. And I'm like, I hear that. But like, I don't really feel like I should have to like support your couch surfing.
I mean, but there's no such thing as a pure economic system. Like there's bits of socialism and capitalism. There's bits of social, you know what I mean? There's bits of communism. Like it's all kind of this meld. But I will say, I don't know, somebody being like, I just dream of nothing.
You know what? I had a homegirl who, she was a lawyer. And I was like, what would you be doing if you weren't a lawyer? And she was like, chilling.
Chilling.
I was like, what do you mean? She was like, exactly what we're doing right now. We were on a beach. Chilling.
The guidance counselor was like, what do you want to do with your life? And she was like, I love sand, pina coladas, sunshine, salt water.
But even as she say that, here we are, what? It's got to be. It's 2021. So it's got to be like 12 years later. And she's like a partner at the firm. So, you know, it's like, get the hell out of here. Like,
right. That's not what she really wants. Yeah, I feel you. So the Shayla says, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I dated him for 3 years. The dick wasn't even great. Well, damn, Shayla, then why did you stay? I was honestly just too busy to break up with him.
Because she was working.
She was. She said she was.
She was too busy getting all the work done to pay the bills.
She said she was.
$300 can't do much these days now. Oh, I don't know where they live, but in Los Angeles, $300 is literally about 6 meals at Tender Greens for 2 people. And that's with a pickup, not a delivery on Postmates.
A parking ticket. Or if you get towed and you let your car wait in the impound for one day, that's $300. Don't ask me how I know that. But it's not a lot. It's not a lot.
It doesn't stretch.
And she said she was an apprentice tattooer at the time, worked every day at the shop for free, and then bartended 5 nights a week. So Shayla was tired. She was during the day, she was over here, you know, doing discount tattoos. And then at night, she was slanging them drinks.
They were roommates.
Like she was in cocktail. She said he kept the house really clean and wasn't awful to me, so I let it go longer than I should have. I love that, like, when you're a cisgender person.
The bar is so low.
Dating a cisgender, like a cisgender woman and a cisgender man, like the bar be on the floor, on the floor.
She said he kept the house clean and didn't treat me terrible.
Awful.
Which, by the way, doesn't good. Give us any indicator of what he was treating her like, because I feel like terrible is subjective.
Right. Also, terrible is, I feel like if she'd been like, he treated me good or fine, then I'd be like, I get it. But like, terrible is like,
he didn't treat me terrible. Like, he treated me bad, but not terrible. You know what I mean?
Like, imagine giving your wedding vows and you're like, Sean, you always run the dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I wake up, the same amount of money that was in my wallet the night before is in there.
Yes.
I love, what is this?
It sounds like Jagged Edge. Like, we ain't getting no younger. We might as well do it. It's very,
and everybody did that at their wedding. Everyone played that song at their wedding at that time.
It's giving me very, you know what? What else is there to do right now? Until I find something else to do.
Right. I had a cousin who got married, and I'm not going to say his name because I got a lot of cousins, but they played that song at their wedding. And also during the actual nuptials, he had a Bluetooth in his ear, which I think at the time, like, he thought was fancy. So he had a Bluetooth speaker, like one of those phone call things that would automatically pick up in his ear. And the whole time I was thinking, like, bro, are you going to take a call during the wedding? Like, why do you have that in your ear? He was trying to show the girls he had Radio Shack coins.
That he had a Bluetooth in his... Like, why would you do that? When I met Too Short, the first time I met Too Short, he had a Bluetooth in each ear. So he had Bluetooth.
In each ear? That's headphones.
Mm-hmm. Touche.
You're supposed to have one. He said, I get multiple calls from different people on both ears.
This one attached to this phone. This one attached to this phone. I got different things. I'm like, you know, I got this is the bat phone in my right ear, but this is the house phone in my left ear.
On one ear, he's like, what's your favorite word? On the other ear, it's like, bitch. And they're two different phone calls. And love that for him. Love that for him. So she says, we stayed together briefly after we broke up. What can I say? He still had the key to my house that we previously shared, but I asked for it back. He gave me a copy of the key. It literally still had a tag on it. I changed the lock and stopped answering the text after that. So she was like, I need my key back. And he was like, oh, here you go, queen. And then it had Home Depot $6.99 on it. So you still have another key.
That is disturbing.
So you still have another key. What is going on?
Why was he still allowed in the house? Like, also. So we all learn. We all learn. Trust me, I've done dumb things too.
Maybe he was like Mr. Clean, bald, dressed in white, keeping the floors polished. That's what I hope.
Doubtful. I mean, he definitely had enough newspapers to wipe down the mirrors. So.
Absolutely, because he had tons of newspapers. Mm-hmm. So in the years since we broke up, I occasionally hear things about him from my friends who still buy weed from him. He committed insurance fraud. Okay. Oh. He had someone steal his car.
Probably got a PPP loan too.
And I'm not mad. Get your PPP. Listen, the only thing about the PPP loans is y'all got to stump for like literally 6 weeks before the government was like, hey, girl, you don't own a farm. We actually looked it up and you don't have no crops. You don't even own a lawnmower.
Give it back.
Run it back. So basically, the insurance fraud thing was he would have someone steal, in quotes, his car and drive it into a river. It was totaled and then he'd collect on the insurance check. A river?
There wasn't a better, you know, I mean, listen, I guess, you know what? Let me just say, maybe I'm wrong. He was working.
That sounds like a job to me, coordinating getting your car theft.
That sounds like full-time work.
He had to get on Yelp or Google Maps and find like a river that was deep enough to destroy the car. I don't know. Seems like work to me. And at the end, Shayla says, I'm not worried about telling you this and fucking up his bag because obviously he's telling multiple casual acquaintances that he sells them drugs. Okay, cool. Overall, the boyfriend, I don't know, he was living his passion.
I don't like theft. I don't like theft. There's certain theft that I get, that I'm like, yeah, fuck the system. But then there's certain stuff that I just be like, this is going to show up in our life. Do you understand? And that's what she saw. Like, the nigga tried to scam her about her crib. And I just feel like there's no honor among thieves. Like, that at a certain point, it just be like, damn, I got to get you now, too. Like, I don't like that. There's criminality that I really am like, whatever. But theft, I don't do.
It depends on from who, for me. Because if you're thieving from somebody who's thieving, then, I mean, it's all fair.
Absolutely. But if you have in your mind that taking something that's not yours is okay, mm-mm. I feel like it's only going to be about a matter of time before I'm a part of that equation.
Yeah, because like there's no honor among thieves, so everybody can get it.
Everybody can get it.
Right.
And if something about me ends up becoming a viable source, you know?
Yeah, theft is rated E for everyone, so... Listen, you know, if you're stealing,
stolen out of my house by someone I was paying, okay, by someone by an employee and her little boyfriend, she was house sitting for me, and they stole my earthquake stash.
Damn, not the earthquake stash. Also, I love that, you know, most people have earthquake kits. You have like an earthquake stash of cash. Do you feel the ground rumbling?
Mm-hmm. Because if the shit shut down, ain't nobody gonna be using no credit cards now.
Right.
We're going to be back to Kari shells and rocks.
You got to be liquid. I'm going to have a handful of painkillers and some water, which I'm trying to barter with.
Like, I'm telling you.
I got 3 tampons and an Aaliyah CD. What can I get for safety? What are y'all going to give me?
I'm keeping the Aaliyah CD.
Right, because you can't get that. Can't get it. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break for some non-scam advertisements. We'll be back with my favorite segment of the show, Historic Hoodwinks. Scams!
Close your eyes, open your mind, and imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials Aren't you all of a sudden Diane Keaton walking on a sand beach thinking about your life? Yes, you can get this kind of luxury with unbeatable prices at Quince because they're here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within your grasp, honey. They have 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops. Y'all know I have the silk tops. I actually just went back and got the washable silk slip dresses. I got one in red, I got one in cream, and I got one in black because I'm about to be out here stunting in my quiet luxury. Y'all know I love the sweatsuits. I actually went back and got the sweatsuit in blue and pink, and I got the shorts. They got shorts to match with the sweatsuit too, so when it's hot girl summer, I can have my thighs out, but my arms can be warm. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Hoochies never get cold. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/goddess for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/goddess to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/goddess.
If you're a person with titties, bras are so uncomfortable and constricting. And now we finally like have something that's changing, that Skims is changing, that Skims bras, they're worth the hype. They're amazing, the shape, the support that they give, but also they're, like I said, comfortable with you on your nipple. Okay. I love the Fits Everybody bra in Onyx, which is like the black one. Like that's normally like the clothes that I'm wearing and stuff. But like, I also really love the wireless form push-up plunge bra because, you know, you sometimes you gotta give a little cleave, a little titty. Okay. You know what I mean? Make it cute. So shop Skims bras at skims.com. Now available in 62 sizes, 38 to 46 H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Cut!
And we are back, and it's time for Historic Hoodwinks. We will regale Amanda with a famous criminal group of criminal squad. You know, maybe we like them, maybe we hate them. We don't know yet. Today, we're talking about the city. I guess you could call it city. I'm going to call it a town. Opelika, Alabama.
Oh,
okay. And we're specifically talking about Kyle Sandler, who basically became the most dashing man in this very small town. I've never been to Opelika. Have you been there?
No.
I know you tour sometimes. No? Okay. Opelika ain't got no venues. So
I'll check it out.
Right. It's like many cities that were struggling after the recession. Its downtown was largely vacant. Jobs were scarce. The town was 30,000 people and perfect picking grounds for Kyle Sandler, a man who came in with a story about striking it rich and wanting to help the town. I'm always curious when a man is just like, I want to help people voluntarily. That's my whole job. That's it. Okay, let's see. So the story goes that Kyle Sandler told everyone that he was a one-time Google executive who got rich on the West Coast and just so happened to pick Opelika as his next home. I love that he went from being a Google executive to like, I'm moving to Opelika, Alabama. Because you know.
I also love that, I don't know if he is Asian, but he's giving Asian. And I'll bet you that they were like, oh yeah. He was a Google exec. Like, if a brother right. had come saying he was a Google exec, people would be, like, running him out of the town with tiki torches. But they were like,
pitchforks.
Yeah. He's, yeah, that makes sense.
Like, he famously said, get that nigger out of here. Yeah. No one would believe the black guy is a Google exec. But this man, we can see it. We're looking at a photo. We'll post it on the page later. So he drove a sporty Jaguar in a town full of pickups and had, in his own words, a heart of gold. How you gonna call yourself having a heart of gold?
It sounds like very Lance Armstrong. Go ahead.
Right. I feel like you can't say you, that somebody else has to say that about you. Pay a friend.
It's like the GOAT. Like, you can't just be like, I'm the GOAT, you know? Unless you're in like a non-subjective sport where it's like, I have won this many times, so there no one has won more than me. I am the GOAT.
LeBron can say he's the GOAT.
Can he?
I think so. He's won enough things. Did you see when Usher had a birthday and he was walking around with a bunch of goats saying that he was amongst company?
I can't even.
Usher, we didn't mean literal goats. We meant greatest of all time. But okay, hang out with these goats. He's like, this is all I can hang out with is other goats.
This is literal, all I can hang out with.
Goats. So he came to town smelling like a, right, man, that's my whole community. So he came to town smelling like a man who would create jobs, bring innovation. In October 2014, he opened a tech business incubator called Roundhouse, and he called himself a conductor. Anybody who got a job title that I can't really, like, you can't go to college and be like, let me get them conductor classes. I'm going to grad school for conducting. What is that? That's not a real job.
My homegirl just, she was like, I still haven't gotten to the bottom of like what this was that she's working with, but like someone responded to her and said, so we'll connect you with our chief of streets and that person will then let you know. And she was like, this is the greatest job title I've ever seen. The chief of streets? I don't know.
Jefe of the calle. Okay.
What is the criteria needed for that job? I want to know what the curriculum vitae should include.
Chief of streets, his office is on 3rd Street, just depending on where he moves his car.
No, a chief of streets, your office is on Martin Luther King Drive, Martin Luther King Avenue. Like, I feel Martin Luther King Boulevard. Like,
Intersection Malcolm X. Mm-hmm. You are the chief of streets.
Yep.
So he opened this tech company, right? The business would help develop new startup companies by providing services such as venture capital, office spaces, 1 gigabyte internet, and management training. This is all so vague. Management of what? Management of who?
Right.
Is 1 gigabyte a lot of internet? Is that like a Starbucks? Can we share that? Is it fast? Can I download things? Can I upload things? 1 gigabyte of
internet. I think that's a pretty good amount.
I mean, maybe for Opelinka, you know? It's only 30,000 people, as long as they don't come at the same time.
Opelika.
So he also found an ally in local John McAfee. Now, if you know anything about John McAfee, that's another episode for another time. That man is wild as hell. So knowing that he was cool with him, like, that man is, let's just say John McAfee had a lot of guns, would be in the jungle, ran for president, would be on a boat, high on.
He looked like a Tiger King.
Crack. Oh, he's a Tiger King. For sure. And I love that it's just like, oh, he had a friendship with him. This is a friendship with Tiger King. Like, if you strike it up, that's like Kim Jong-un and who's that basketball player?
Dennis Rodman.
It's like that kind of relationship. It's like y'all both on some different time.
Yeah. That's a vibration that I want to stay far away from.
I want to stay super far from that vibration.
I'm good.
So Chuck Wacker, what kind of name
hilarious.
Is that? I'm not giving no money to Chuck. I'm not hanging out with Chuck.
I don't get whacker than Chuck Wacker. Like that, I can't.
Amanda, you trying to go down to the club? Chuck Wacker got a table. I'm trying to meet Chuck.
Ooh, I don't want it.
So this is one of the locals who invested in Roundhouse and said, Kyle was a master. I think he could get money out of a guy living under a bridge. He was that good a promoter and a pitchman. Chuck, I think you're gassing Kyle because you got scammed. So you need everybody to know you got scammed by like Elon Musk, not just some phony who came into town. And that's another thing about scams. There's a little bit of shame in it. Like if you get scammed, you're like, oh, was
I stupid? You feel like, oh my God, they got me. This is crazy. Exactly.
Right. So you got to be like, it was actually Albert Einstein. He had just left the patent office and then he got me. Like, you got to hype it up so you don't feel bad. So Sandler ultimately brought in around $1.9 million from over 50 investors. Wow. So he got the bag.
Oh, wow.
Kyle, then 43, who grew up in Maryland, eventually his career, so this is like about him, eventually his career into promoting startup businesses online while he built a name as a serial entrepreneur. We've talked about the words serial entrepreneur. It means criminal.
Okay.
If you are a serial entrepreneur, you are going from crime to crime like Frogger, and we know it.
Got it. Okay.
So he said he moved to Opelika because his wife wanted to move back home. Opelika offered high-speed fiber optic networks for internet and an incentive of free internet service worth about $50,000. Now, I don't know, like, how you found that out? Okay. So he had an entrepreneurial career. He also offered mentorship to young entrepreneurs in town, which is how he met 13-year-old Taylor Rosenthal.
What?
He met a 13-year-old. He was given mentorship.
Taylor was the
creator of an idea for a vending machine that disperses injury-related gear marketed towards athletes on the field, like Band-Aids, bandages, and antiseptic. So they don't have, like... So this is Tyler, and this is him standing next to his...
invention.
His
blood,
vending machine.
Sweat, tears. Yeah.
Now, here's my thing. This is why American healthcare system is so ass. I need a Band-Aid, and you telling me I got to put in 6 quarters?
Fair. What?
Fair.
I'm bleeding. I gotta hit 1-6-7. I gotta hit 12-7 to get my what?
Oh, okay, Tyler.
They don't got medics for this? Help. So the concept was expanded for general public use at theme parks and concert venues. Okay, that's actually not bad. If I went to a theme park or concert venue and they had Band-Aids for the girls, I don't know. What else do you need? Like an EpiPen?
You could need an EpiPen. That's actually real. It's mosquitoes and stuff, so you may need hydrocortisone or something.
Mm-hmm, some off. So I don't know. Records show that RecMed LLC formed on December 1st, 2015, and Sandler registered, was a registered agent to this property. So Taylor and his parents as co-owners had a 70% stake. So then our scammer Kyle had 30. The company was based on the Roundhouse, even though they made a promotional video for the machine. Okay. I mean, the machine could actually be cute, but also don't they have medic tents at concerts?
Yes. Yes, they do.
So, okay. Soon after, an article in Inc. magazine named Taylor one of the 20 teen entrepreneurs set for success in 2015. Stories were sent around. An undisclosed company was offering Taylor $30 million for his pain vending machine. In an interview with Fox Business, Tyler says that he rejected the offer, holding out for $50 million. So he's like, I can get more for these Band-Aid machines. How much you bleeding? You bleeding fast? Yeah. So according to Taylor's family, Sandler, Kyle, showed them documentation indicating that pharmaceutical giant Johnson & Johnson was interested in the theme park giant Six Flags. So basically he showed up and was like, hey, Johnson & Johnson, they said they no tears.
Nice.
They said Six Flags said we would also like to partake. And he had a piece of paper showing them that. You can't just type pieces of paper up. Because you could just...
And put a logo on the head. Look at us teaching folks how to scam. Now you just put the logo on the top mm-hmm. of it, make it a letterhead, and then you print it up, and there you
Photoshop.
Go.
Photoshop. So he showed up fresh out of Kinko's, paper hot as hell.
Yeah.
Talking about Johnson.
They want you.
They want you. So more and more attention was being brought to Roundhouse, which is Kyle's business, and legitimate business people were working there. In 2016, McAfee started a bizarre presidential campaign. I told you, he's wild. He's a wild man. And he announced Roundhouse and Sandler as his campaign advisor. So now Kyle has gone from being an entrepreneur, grind hard motivationalist to a campaign advisor. Serial entrepreneur. He got lots of jobs.
Right. You did. Red flag. Okay.
You can see how that correlates, right? Went from basically being team no sleep to...
I'm out here.
White House.
It's... okay. Listen, I'm still listening.
So, however, a Bitcoin mining company with ties to McAfee at the time, MGT Capital Investments, acquired a membership interest in the Roundhouse in May 2016. So these are just more people getting interested in buying. That's how this stuff goes. You have a lot of money. Then you see somebody who's like, hey, you got a lot of money. I'll make you more. And then they just get involved. Company invested $125,000, provided another $250,000 in stock bonuses. Despite the promises of huge paydays around the corner and national press attention, Roundhouse abruptly closed December 2016. After running out of money.
It never had money.
No, they didn't. They never had money.
They never had money. Aye.
You just show up to Roundhouse thinking you're about to have a business meeting. It's just a chain on a door.
I hate this for everybody. Oh, my God. Okay.
So days later, the Opelika Auburn News quoted Sandler saying the business had simply run out of coins. I'm sorry for what happened to Opelika and Roundhouse. I lost control and we ended where we're at. Where'd the money go? How did y'all run out of coins? This is all ideas. How do you run out of idea money? If everybody's investing in an idea, where did the idea money go?
I'm really... And he went to Opelika probably because he was thinking these people don't know. They don't know. This is a slow town. It's a small town. Not slow as in mentally, but it's a big fish, small pond. They're not going to.
Right. He's driving a Jaguar.
Yeah. It's impressive. It's when New York dudes would go to HBCUs. I mean, it was HBCUs down south. It was you're from the big city.
Right. And that's what the thought was here. So the truth was, before Roundhouse's closure, several investors discovered who Sandler really was. This is Kyle. So Kyle never worked for Google. duh. I'm sure an easy Google, like you could have just used the search engine.
Kyle worked for Foot Locker. Okay.
Like, get out of here.
Kyle used Google. He was like, I did a lot of work with Google because I would open the search engine and I'd be like, how to crime. So technically not lying. So they discovered he was a fraud, right? And despite cruising around in his Jaguar, he was never wealthy. You can rent an expensive car. Have you been to Atlanta? That's all they do is drive around their mortgages. Sorry, Atlanta. Sorry to the city.
Dang.
In 2010, he was convicted in Maryland and North Carolina of attempted theft and forgery, but never went to prison. Cute. We love a conviction, but just like you opted out of jail. How did that work?
I see it all the time. Did you ever see that docuseries on Netflix, how to fix a drug scandal? That's a scam. Hmm. Oh, you need to watch that. That's a scam.
Okay, how to fix a drug scandal, because I didn't know you could go to court and they'd be like, you're guilty. You'd be like, all right, cool. See y'all later. Thank you so much.
Legit, though. Like, yeah, that's okay. Well, we
damn.
Agree.
Right, damn, a bummer. I am guilty. All right, well, y'all be easy. And then you just leave? Like, I thought they were supposed to detain you after. No? Okay. I'm Black, so I would know nothing about that. Like, they locked us up before we even go to court. So online reviews from his stint as a wedding DJ.
Yo, this is wild.
Detail that he was known to vanish money. Somebody petty. And I love that for them. Because, like, how you hire a wedding DJ and you show up and you're, like, ready for the first dance and there's just no music? Y'all whole wedding is no music. No music.
He showed up with an iPod.
I don't think he showed up at all.
With an iPod and was, like, turning the dial, like...
I feel as though he didn't show up with anything at all. I feel like he took the money and then just didn't come to the wedding, which that's ass.
Oh, wow. Because I feel like if you do that, it's like people will find you out. And like you, like the wedding circuit, I feel like is like pretty tight.
They talk.
Yeah.
They talk. And the wedding planners, like, you know, it's not just Jennifer Lopez. They all talk. So... After Roundhouse's shutdown, Taylor Rosenthal's family learned that Sandler had also been lying about the $30 million deal, which he was purely orchestrated to be parroted by a child's interviews to bolster Roundhouse's reputation. So basically, he was like, oh, y'all got all these deals on the table, but he was just doing that so he could get the free clout from the child selling the medical vending machine.
He's not a dumb man.
Right. Because in an article on AL.com, this is a quote, that was the most tragic of things he did. He sucked in this 14-year-old boy, used that kid viciously, said John McAvey. Viciously? I don't know about viciously.
You know.
When you're 14, you can recover. Like, you can recover. So I think it's okay, but you know. So this is how he got arrested. He was arrested in June 2018. Records show that weeks earlier, he and a young woman formed a startup media company in College Station, which that's where Texas A&M is located.
I spent a lot of time there. I dated a dude there who he ended up getting kicked. Well, he had gotten kicked off the team, and then he was scamming. God damn.
I mean, he was going to play football. Then he was like, all right, crime. You know, you got to have a backup. They say you got to have a plan B. Your plan B can always be crime.
you saying that jokingly, but that's a number of people's plan B.
NFL. Okay. Damn. Crime.
Life comes at him fast.
Because he looking real down bad here. He was looking like a tech guy before. And now he's looking like a criminal. The hair is growing. He couldn't even go to Great Clips. What is this haircut? Yeah. It feels like he started to get the haircut and then they realized his car declined and then they stopped. That's what it's giving. They started to cut the bang and then they were like, oh, your card actually didn't go through.
The bang.
And then they kicked him out. Oh, tragic. We hate to see it. Terrible. Or also maybe we love to see it. So records show weeks earlier, you know, he's tried to start this startup and he was in College Station and he's talking about he was going to get like $650 million for the girls and the minimum investment was $10,000. It was also discovered that much like the $1.9 million Sandler raised, which I'm like, okay, $1.9 million, why are you looking this raggedy? Where did that money go that fast?
I was going to say, you can do a lot with $1.9 million, okay?
A lot. You can definitely at least like go that to Great Clips.
Fair. Touché.
Like, it's just
greed. But greed is what really be taking folks out. Because to me, if you had raised that 1.9, just chill out.
Yeah, chill. I feel like after
go
that,
to Bali.
Yes, go somewhere where your money can be long and just give it up.
And that has no extradition.
Oh, yes. See, listen up, guys. So it was discovered that much of the $1.9 million Sandler raised was actually diverted to expenses such as childcare, rent, and cars. And he was able to get away with it because no one asked to see his books or even a cursory check into his background. They just believed him because he looked like he could work in tech.
I hate everybody. Vibes.
I'm not giving my money to you because you got a good costume. I'm going to need to see some things.
Yeah.
I'm going to need a forensic accountant to help me out with that. Not just like, oh, you got cute fits and then I'm going to give you my money and hope. No.
Listen.
So Sandler said one of the things to look at was how easy it was for me. Anything I said was taken as gospel. And a lot of scammers are charismatic. So they were like, yeah, Sandler, you said Obama going to be here tonight? Yeah, yeah, he was. But the jet, they had ran out of fuel. You know how much jet engine fuel costs. So they actually going to Exxon right now, but they're going to be here later. Like, what?
It's just so wild. Like, he really just showed up and was like, yeah, this is what I am. And they were like, for sure.
We believe you. We hear you talking and we believe you. So he pleaded guilty to two federal charges of wire fraud, securities fraud in August, and faces a maximum sentence of 20 years on each. 40 years in prison for stealing money from people who should have done their due diligence. I don't know.
It feels
excessive.
It's not a violent
crime.
It feels excessive.
And expensive, like, prison is expensive on taxpayers. Like, I don't know. Maybe we get Sandler into some investment classes. I don't know. He does some community service. He goes back to DJing. He DJs all those weddings that he missed. Right.
Nah,
he gets
DJing
on the turntables.
It's been years. So he's DJing the bar mitzvahs of their
right,
kids.
Right. He gets on the ones and twos for the community. I feel like that's fair. So earlier this year, he was indicted on fraud and money laundering. And John McAfee. Oh, damn, everybody. So he alleged that he and others, including John McAfee, made more than $13 million by fooling investors zealous over emerging cryptocurrency market, which crypto is its own game.
It really is. I bought some Bitcoin. I don't know what it does. I don't know
when
what it
does. When did you buy it? Did you get in early?
No, I don't. My knowledge on the conversation has ended.
Fair. Fair.
We have reached the end of my knowledge on the conversation.
So after his release, Sandler dreams of using internet slash Opelika-based business to raise money and repay his victims when he's released from prison. And he said, I hope they will have me back.
They will.
How?
I bet you they would.
You hope they will have you back? You robbed them. You came to the town and you robbed everybody.
I bet you they would have him back. I swear.
I love the delusion of like, no, but they still love me. I was a cool guy.
I
stole their life savings, but vibes.
No, I want better for people. I want people to want better for themselves.
I do, but I also don't. I don't know. Sometimes you do a scam or you do something risky and it turns out good. You know, it's not all bad.
By the way, I made $10 on my Bitcoin.
Look at you winning. Okay, mm-hmm. See, something good came out of that.
Oh,
so
and
you
it just
never
went
know.
Up. And now I'm getting a call from Scam Likely.
Wow. That's actually me, girl.
On the phone.
Sorry, I butt dialed you. That's actually me. Well, guys, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back for the saddest part of the show where I have to let Amanda go.
Robbery!
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
And we're back, and it's time for Scammer of the Week. And this is where we highlight an honorary charlatan. Maybe we don't like them. We'll see. I still can't tell if I like Kyle. I do like that he was a wedding DJ. That works for me. So, Scammer of the Week. A fortune teller was arrested for fraud, including scamming one victim out of $50,000 in Riverside, California. Okay, I don't know if you could put fortune teller and fraud in the same sentence.
Yeah, because I feel like it's already coming from the left.
That's like saying corrupt police. Like, what are we doing? Like, yeah, duh.
Because fortune teller, maybe we're being American right now. In other cultures, like, maybe that's like some legit shit. But here in these United States, I feel like a fortune teller has always been synonymous with someone who's like just getting you, you know, they're preying on your insecurity.
This is a fortune teller who probably looks like he identifies as male. He looks pretty handsome and he got a fade. Normally fortune tellers are women. They're older. They give you gravitas. Okay. So the fortune teller, 31-year-old Andreas Pena Menses, or Manises, excuse me, told a victim that she had parasites in her body and needed money to help her clear it out. Okay, so if you looked into Daddy Future and they said the girl has worms, why wouldn't she go to the doctor? How you gonna clear it out? How?
But you know, people don't be trusting the medicine. I don't blame them either. You know,
yeah,
like,
that's true.
The same people that you're talking about probably would have used ivermectin versus a vaccine.
Right, and not even got the ivermectin for people from the doctor. They're going straight to
the horse's mouth, literally.
Taking it out of the horse's mouth. Poor horses. They're like, what did we do? We was just out here trying to be stallions, and now we can't get our horse dewormer? Wow. So he later contacted the victim and explained that if she and her family were cursed and needed more money to get rid of it. How do you bill somebody for being cursed? You're like, okay, I gotta buy a lot of sage for y'all. Crystals, the market for crystals is real up right now. Like,
it is, though. The market for crystals is up right now.
I gotta charge them in the moonlight.
I feel really about this crystal life, like in a real way.
I got a few crystals, I won't lie. I haven't charged them, but I got them. You know, they're vibes.
I need to charge them.
What else do you say is contributing to this $50,000 for you to clear a family curse? Like, I got to talk to a lot of spirits, and honestly, it's like $6,000 an hour.
It's taxing. Yeah.
We talking candles.
The Wi-Fi signal has to be really strong.
Really strong. And listen, these aren't candles from Glade, okay? These have to be handmade, you know, thick wick candles. They run up. Honestly, Jo Malone is really where you contact the spirit world. So,
because a Jo Malone candle will absolutely run you, yes.
It will run it up. So during a search of his home, officials found large amounts of cash along with voodoo dolls, tarot cards, altars, religious and satanic objects, and a small live snake. Well, he was giving it presentationally.
The small snake is my favorite part. He was like, we gonna really bring this to another level.
Right. He was like, if the snake starts slithering, that means your family cursed. It's like, that's how snakes move. Oh, no. If you're not cursed, it's gonna walk and stay still.
Every time it sticks its tongue out, it's talking to me.
Yeah, and it's telling me that your family evil. So what y'all trying to do? According to some victims, Manises would tell them to bring a mattress from their home, which he would cut open and claim to find the live snake inside with the demonic type items and letters.
But you know what? Y'all dumb for doing this. The same way that there are an entire legion of QAnon members, believers, like in Dallas right now, that we're waiting to see John F. Kennedy come back to life to claim the Donald Trump as the real president. Some people, I feel like they want to be scammed. Like, they're like, make me feel alive.
Right. There's also something in America about being, you know, a contrarian or on the opposite side of a theory that makes people feel smart. So, like, this is a secret thing that we all found out that, like, John F. Kennedy is the second coming. And
but there's, like, opposite side and then just, like, the upside down.
Like, hey, girl, we going to Joann's Fabrics first. Actually, we're going to Hobby Lobby because they really hate the girls. And so we're going to get our puffy pant and our signs and then meet us on the grassy knoll. Because they said John F. Kennedy going to pull up around 6:30. So.
I can't. So, like, it's the same energy that's like, all right, the whack shit that's happening in my house, it's probably not me. It's probably a snake in my mattress.
But, Andreas, how are you getting the snake in the mattress without them noticing? Like, how are you cutting it open and then being like, oh, see, it's a snake in here. John, we saw you put, Andres, we saw you put that in there.
Oh, look, a bird, it's a plane. And, you know, and they turn back around. He's like, look, it's John F. Kennedy. And they turn around looking for JFK. And when they turn back, they're like, we did not see him. And they're like, he's like, I saw a snake.
They're like, oop, is that your dad, grandma? Look over there.
Do you understand how hard it is to bring a mattress somewhere?
Yes. So they got moving trucks. Y'all getting a U-Haul.
And is it a box spring? Like, that's not a casual. He didn't say bring an article of clothing.
Right.
A mattress? He didn't say
bring a letter, bring a piece of jewelry.
Why he chose something so massive. And did he make them haul it away later? Like, did he make them take the mattress with them?
He had to have. He's not keeping the mattress. He's like, y'all got a mattress giant. Like, Mattress Giant's about to have some new ads. Like, did you have a snake in your mattress?
I just hate Mattress Giant. I hate hearing about dumbness. Like, it drives me batty to hear people really just set themselves up for the foolery.
Right. Like, and mattresses are expensive. Like, I don't know if I'm cutting my mattress open for a psychic reading. That just feel like Miss Cleo would never. Miss Cleo said, call me now. She's never said, run me your Casper. Like, that's a lot.
Run me your Casper.
That's too much. And so some victims said that he would tell them to, you know, bring the mattress. He would tell them that, you know, they had a demonic spirit following them. He was recently booked on charges of grand theft and lies, or basically grand theft by false pretenses. And he's currently out on bail. According to records, he has previously been arrested as a faith healer in Chicago.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, all right. He's been arrested as a faith healer.
He was a bad faith healer.
Hilarious.
I don't know how you arrest somebody for this. This feels like if I was trying to get the police to find somebody on a train who told me that they left their wallet and that they needed cash. And I was like, I saw them do the same thing last week in New York. Like, I feel like you just have to take the L. You brought your mattress to somebody's home. You are culpable.
I guess if he affected enough people in the community, it just becomes like you're a menace and thus you must be dealt with. I don't know what the indictment charge is, you know?
Was he trying to furnish his home? He was like, I feel like you have a very bad spirit in your end table. Is it wood?
Bring it
to my home. Because I bet you it's a spirit in there.
Yo.
Do you have an LG TV? Is it flat screen? Oh, it's a spirit in there. Bring it to my home.
Like the premise of some type of twisted Korean film. Like,
right? You got a Brita? Yeah, the new one with the thing to tell you when it's all. Yeah, bring that in several refills to my home. It's a spirit in there.
And then when it arrives, it's like, oh, this is the wrong one. You healed.
Right. This is getting very specific, Andreas. Like, I heard you got a spirit. It's definitely in your Persian rug. Bring it to my... Like, are you decorating your house on psychic vibes?
I'm done.
I don't know, Andreas. But that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much, Amanda, for being here. You're fabulous.
Thank you for having me.
Where do you want to be found? That's what we ask people. All the things you want people to find you in, just where you want to be found.
You know where people can find me? People can find me on my Patreon. We started a Smart, Funny, and Black Patreon. And, you know, I was really looking for a place where I can put content that I didn't want to have to put on Instagram because Instagram is haters. And, you know, this Mark Zuckerberg and his metaverse, like, they just do things that are silencing people that actually are about things. And I really
have
just...
Have they unblocked your live?
They have not. They have not unblocked my live.
Oh, no.
So by the time this airs, I hope that they have. But as we're recording this, it's been 12 days and I just can't go on Instagram live and like there's no explanation being given other than like we're working on it and I'm just like dang like is my shit so bad like I just there's
you
I,
have great lives they're not bad or problematic there's people with bad and when lives they,
it says that the reason why it won't go live is because I have violated community guidelines. But even with that, I'm like, what guidelines am I violating? Like the last time I got a flag for violating a community guideline was because someone came on my post and said that I was stupid and that I was an idiot. And I was like, actually, and I corrected them about like the stuff they were saying. And then I ended with B-I-S-H.
That's bish. Not a thing.
I ended with B-I-S-H, bish. And got flagged for that. Now, come on.
That's so whack. I feel like you do get a lot of unnecessary heat. Like when the Insecure, like AKA thing happened, it was like, girl, what are y'all talking about?
I honestly, if I was actually, I was talking to DJ Envy about this the other day, and I was like, of folks who get shit on for no reason, I think I'm,
you're
I
up
think
there.
I'm top of the pops, B. Like, cause the reasons that people be shitting on me is 9 times out of 10, either they've misinterpreted something I said, or they believed something someone else said that had no truth to it. Like, I've had a particular blog, like, ruin my life, like, 3 times by literally just putting out a headline that was not accurate for the sake of inciting violence. They right. chose Clicks. Violence. Yeah. But I started my Patreon because there were still people who are, like, fans and who want to get, you know, dope stuff and who I want to be able to, like, have commentary for without being in like the swamp of the socials. And so you can go to patreon.com/smartfunnyandblack. You can check out my web series, Get Your Life. We have 2 seasons up. We also have my web series, Views from Amandaland, where I answer questions from folks all over the world. And I do sketches and characters, etc. We also have a new segment we're about to start called Hate Lines from the Interwebs, where I address the wild ass headlines people be creating about me and, you know, give the truth and the tea on all those things. And we also have a dope just for Patreon segment coming up from my podcast. We're doing an artist series on Small Doses where we're talking to different artists, including Christina Martinez, who just did a collabo with Nordstrom, and the portrait gallery artist, Miss Amy Sherald, who did Michelle Obama's portrait. So we have a dope consortium of artists that are joining us. And we did for Patreon was we did a specific segment just for Patreon where they walk us through my favorite pieces of theirs. And they talk about why they did them and, you know, where they were in their mind and just the background of everything. So I'm just like super duper excited about that. We have a bunch of other stuff coming. And again, only available on Patreon. So hopefully you guys will check it out. Patreon.com/smartfunnyandblack.
Yes, and your Instagram, and then obviously you have a podcast, Small Doses.
Yes, you can check out my podcast, Small Doses, every week. My Instagram is Amanda Seals. You know, and that's and you can also go to smartfunnyandblack.com, and we got some cool stuff going on over there. And we actually ask anyone who's interested to please sign up for our newsletter, The Union, because really we want to be able to connect directly with the folks that love our brand and the stuff we create. Right now, I feel like a lot of folks have to go through Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever to connect to their audiences. And it makes it to where, like, the man is in the way. So we're trying to get around the man and get directly to the people. So head over to smartfunnyandblack.com and sign on up.
Yes, love this. As always, D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I, Diva Lacey on all platforms. Scam Goddess Pod, if you want to check out the pictures from this, Scam Goddess Pod on Twitter as well. If you want to send on your friends and family, scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Watch the Black Light Special. It's all out on HBO Max. Watch iCarly. First season's out on Paramount Plus. Get into our shenanigans. Guys, we're up for an iHeartRadio Award. Watch, ooh, tune congrats. In. Thank you. And also the merch, podswag.com. I'm about to switch it up. So if you want this round of merch, like, get it now before I take it away. Congregation, stay scheming.
Scam Goddess.
This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. It's produced by Judith Cargbo, engineered by Marina Faiz, and researched by Kaylin Brandt. Stay scheming.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.